Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we've got our weekly check-ins. We have a very special segment, an interview with lactation consultant Jessica Clare answering listener questions. It's such a great segment. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey, welcome to the show. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Shauna.
How are you guys doing? How old's your baby?
My baby is 9 months and a week. We're actually at 40 weeks, which feels, I don't know, special because, the due date, on the outside. Uh-huh. And so this week, we kind of had a week. So I mentioned I had back pain last week and I thought it was because I had taken away the breast friend nursing pillow and thought I could just like set my baby on my lap now. Mm-hmm. And I am happy to report that I went back to the breast friend and I am feeling better. So
that
helps. So I'm just trying to be a little more conscious of like my ergonomics, and I think that's helping. And this week we went to my baby's 9 month appointment.
Oh.
So one of the positives was that I thought he was going to get some shots, but it turns out he didn't need to get any shots because he had already gotten both of his flu shots and he isn't due for more of his immunizations until next time. So that was nice.
Yay!
That was a benefit. However, he did have to get his little toe pricked for the hemoglobin test to see if his iron was doing okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And turns out it's not.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So, okay.
Oh, no.
I went with my mom, which was my first mistake because she just talked the whole time, like, over the doctor.
And remind everyone, your mom is a doctor, too.
She is a doctor. So, like, I barely got a word in edgewise. But when they came in and they, like, you know, did a little pinprick on his toe, which he actually didn't mind that much. And they squeeze a little drop of blood out onto like a little test strip or whatever. And then they came back and they were like, we need to do that again. And my mom was like, I bet it's low. Oh. It looked really pale to me. And I was like, okay. And she's like, I've seen so much baby blood in my life. Oh, I know when, like, I can see it. I know, right?
Not many people could say that phrase.
Thank God.
Thank God, yeah.
Is that something like to be proud of, I guess? I don't know. But she's like, I could tell it looked kind of pale. And so the first little test came back as 9.5, and then the second one came back as 10, and 11 is normal. So I guess it's, you know, it's not so low that they have to worry. My mom said, like, when it's at 6, they, you know, want to admit you, and when it's at, like, 8, they want to really start supplementing. These numbers are kind of off the top of my head, but the idea is that, you know, he was just under what's normal. So,
wait, did you say what this test is for?
Yeah, so it's to test his iron. So it's hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. So it's to test to see if he has enough iron in his system. Because I guess babies have a big iron store in their system from in utero, and then it starts getting depleted. And that's why it's really important to start solid foods around 6 months at least, because you need to start getting that iron back in. But apparently we haven't been doing a good enough job.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. And I guess there's a benefit to having a formula-fed baby because there's a lot of iron in formula. So it's fortified really well. I was worried because I realized I've been continuing taking my prenatal vitamins this whole time, thinking I've been like a good girl. And then I realized I was taking the gummies, and the gummies don't have iron in them.
Oh, that's right.
But then I Googled it and discovered like it doesn't actually matter much. Like the maternal diet doesn't really seem to affect breast milk iron levels. So I didn't have to feel guilty about it for very long.
That's good.
But anyway, so there was another little thing at the doctor's appointment where they give you a little questionnaire asking like three questions. It was like, do you live in a house that was built before 1950? Does your child go to like daycare or childcare at a place that was built before 1950? Or are you like currently renovating a house that was built before, who knows, like 1970 or something? I don't remember the exact dates. But our house was built in 1922. So I was like, yep. And that, at least in my doctor's office, means that we have to automatically get a blood test for lead.
Lead, right.
So because we have to get a blood test for lead as well, my doctor said, you know what, like you'll get your iron and your lead tested at the same time, but why don't you wait a month and just try to get them like as many iron-rich foods into his diet as possible and then retest. And so that's now our plan, is we are going to be eating, like, meat and spinach and beans and tofu and just trying to get him iron-rich foods all the time. And hopefully that'll solve it so we don't have to supplement.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. You know, supplementing is not that hard, but it does cause constipation, and I really don't want to have to deal with that on top of everything else. So, yeah. But it's interesting because my mom was like, he doesn't act anemic, you know?
I was going to say, like, are there any side effects or what's the signs of having this low iron in a baby?
Well, I think being anemic just makes you really, like, lethargic, right?
And that's my baby, what I would imagine.
Is not lethargic. Lethargy is not a problem he has.
No, not that I've noticed.
Full of energy. So I'm sure there's other health problems if it's really, really low, but I think energy is a big one. So we'll see. We're just going to wait a month and then get his blood drawn. I don't want to get his little blood drawn, though. Like, it's not a little toe prick. It's like an actual venous blood draw.
Oh, poor buddy.
I know. So I'm excited to put that off. Yeah. When she was like, you can wait a month. I was like, great. I would like to do that.
Oh, good.
So that was the result of his 9-month checkup. Oh, he's also like in the 45th percentile of weight now. If you recall when he was a newborn, and all the way through like, I think 4 months, he was like in like the 8th, 9th percentile in weight. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Did I talk about that?
Yeah, I think you talked about that.
Yeah, he was a small fry, and now he's definitely bulking up.
Yay! So that's
very cute. He's got like the baby rolls on his arms, forearms, and his legs. So
yes,
that's fun. So it's always fun to go to the doctor and find out like how much they've grown. Because you don't really, it's hard to, you can't really do it at home. So
no.
Yeah.
You're just like all of a sudden thinking, God, that baby looks big in that car seat.
Right?
To me, that's how I feel. I'm like, you're not a newborn anymore because you take up the whole seat.
The whole seat. I know. Corey kept joking. He was like, 20 pounder for sure. Like the whole week up to the appointment, he was like, oh, this guy's heavy. 20 pounder for sure. And then he ended up being 19 pounds, 2 ounces. So not quite, but not quite. Soon. Close. Soon. But the other thing that happened this week that is also medical and not fun is I got food poisoning.
Oh.
Awful. Horrible. Terrible.
How do you even deal with parenting while you're going through that?
Corey stayed home. And I did not do any parenting. I couldn't do anything. Thank God Corey could stay home. It was I got it on Friday, and then, you know, it got better by the end of the weekend, thankfully. But on Friday, I could not, like, I couldn't walk into the other room without feeling, like, dizzy and weak and, you know, couldn't eat anything. Mm-hmm. It was so unpleasant. And then, I was just out of it for, like, 3 days.
Were you still nursing?
Oh, yeah. So
yeah,
I was a little afraid it was like a virus. I wasn't sure if it was food poisoning or like a stomach bug. And so I wanted to keep on nursing the baby just in case it provided some kind of like antiviral benefit to the baby, right? Mm-hmm. Antibodies in the breast milk and whatnot. But also, it seemed way easier to nurse than to pump.
Yeah, that's true.
I just, the thought of sitting and pumping while I was sick, it just seemed awful. Like, I could have Corey, like, come on in. And my baby, he nurses for, like, 5 minutes now.
That's true.
Really efficient.
He's efficient.
So it's just, like, brings him in, nurses. And it gave him a little time with me because he was really, like, mommy starved. Poor little guy.
Yeah, he was probably so confused.
Mommy. I know. And I just felt so bad. But, being sick as a parent is just awful. Especially as a mom, you just can't ever just totally turn off. I got really close, though. Like, Corey really, really took care of the baby and just managed everything. And, you know, was trying to help take care of me. And I didn't really need much taking care of. I just needed to be left alone, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I dread the day that happens with me with 2 kids. Because, I mean, obviously, I've been there with one, and it does suck. Now I'm just like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? It's like, I feel like I always just push through. I don't think, knock on wood, I've been to the point where you were this time, thank God, where you just feel like you couldn't do anything. I'm always just like, I feel terrible, but I'm going to push through. It's like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so a classic push-through-er. This time, getting up to, like, walk to the bathroom or, like, walk to the kitchen to get a glass of water, more Gatorade, honestly. I was drinking a lot of Gatorade.
Uh-huh.
It was making me, like, faint.
Oh,
not,
God,
like, almost faint.
Thing.
Like, I was, like, dizzy and, yeah. So, ugh. I think it was a sample. Well, okay. There's two options of things it could have been. It could have been, like, breakfast sausage that I ate or that no one else ate. Or I was eating samples of apples at the farmer's market, you know? And, like, I don't know if they really washed those things when they cut them up and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I always see like kids running up to those sample things with their grubby little hands and sticking them in there. So, I mean, maybe it was a virus that you picked up from some grubby little kid. I don't know why I'm picking on kids.
Thankfully, no one else, knock on wood, no one else has gotten it. So.
Oh, good.
Because that's, it's one thing to be sick as a mom. It's another thing for the entire family to get like norovirus. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no,
yeah.
No. No.
We've been through that. That's definitely not fun.
So anyway,
you know how I just love that topic. So
I know. So we're not going to get into details. But anyway, so my week was, you know, not great. Kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But that's life. And it's not too funny. Shauna, why don't you tell us about your week and bring us out of this sick cloud?
Yes. And my baby's 10 months and 1 week. Yes, luckily I have nothing on the sick front to report. Yay, knock on wood. But we also went to a checkup. We do 10-month. We do every 2 months. So we're a little bit off schedule of you
we're
guys.
We're in different. Yeah, it's, I think that's really kind of interesting. Our office does, you know, right after newborn, I think then like 2 weeks, 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't remember at the beginning. I'm sure you go back to listen to those episodes if you really want to know. But then it's, I think, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months. 9 months, 12 months. So.
Okay. Yeah, we go every 2 months, and it sounds pretty much like exactly what you did. So I don't have too much else to add, except that she did pass her iron test. Yay.
That's good.
And the thing of note with that is funny that you said they took it out of his toe.
Yeah.
They took the blood out of Cece's finger in the lab at the doctor's office, which was fine. She was all right with. And then they wrap it in a Band-Aid, and then they said, you are not allowed to leave this doctor's office for 15 to 20 minutes because we need to take the Band-Aid off and see that it's off before you leave because they can sit in the back seat and chew on it and choke on it. So if you don't have another person with you.
They said the same thing to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But you were alone. Well, they didn't. They just said, like, we have to take this off. They came and took it off for us, but they said the same thing. It's a choking hazard.
Yeah, I guess if I'd had someone with me, like, they would have allowed us to leave because someone could sit next to her in the back seat and make sure. But I was alone with her. And so we just sat and hung out. And, of course, like, the second that Band-Aid was on, she was just, like, chewing on it, chomping on it all in her mouth. So I was like, oh, this is a really good idea. I'm glad you guys are doing this because I would not have thought of that. Even though I have lived through this before with my first child. You know, now I remember that we did it with Elle, but... I forgot about that, and so I'm really glad that someone else in my life is vigilant about my baby's safety. The other thing to note is that she's now 80th percentile for weight.
Dang, girl!
And 55th for height. So, yeah, those fun little stats.
Chunky
so.
Legs.
Very chunky legs.
Delicious. Tiny feet. Chunky
arms.
Legs.
Yep. Ah, so funny. So that's that. The other big news is that she took 4 steps all by herself.
Wow, consecutive steps.
Yes,
that's cool.
I'm like, I think she's walking. This is
crazy.
Yeah,
when do you call it, right? Like, that sounds like walking to me. 4 steps?
Yeah, I mean, she's not like walking across the house, but she's, you know, she's making attempts on her own and taking multiple steps. So... Yeah, so I don't know where we're going to go from here, but obviously I think it's like climbing mountains or something because this kid is on the move.
Definitely. I think you should go straight to the climbing gym.
Well, she does go to my gym, so.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I mean, but rock climbing might be the next thing.
Can she get onto like standing from the ground or does she need to like pull up on something first?
She has done that once. I saw her do that one time, mm-hmm. and she concentrated really, really hard, and she was working on it, and she stood up and balanced and looked at me like, oh, what did I just do? And I'm like, what did you just do? But I haven't seen that happen since.
That's a hard thing to do. It's hard to, for me to do. It's a lot to get up from the ground onto your feet.
It truly is. It's only getting harder, too, for me. But, you know, she has to use at least a little something, like my knee or something like that. And then the other thing she's been doing lately is whistling.
What? She says backpack. She whistles.
She's such a conundrum. I love her so much. What the heck? Yeah. All of a sudden, I just hear her go like... I was like, what? Where did that come from? I'm looking around. I'm like, huh, that's weird. I think that was her, but I don't know, because I didn't see it at the moment. And then, like, an hour later, she's like, like, listen, like a little baby whistle. And my 3.5-year-old has been trying for years to whistle and cannot do it. Her whistle is like, you know, if I whistle for the dogs, I'm like, right? That's like a dog whistle. Here's my 3.5-year-old's attempt at whistling. Woo, whoop. So I am just flummoxed by the fact that my 10-month-old has figured this out. I'm sure it's just accidental. Like, she's just, you know, experimenting with wind going out of her lips. And but yeah, she's just like, so
that's amazing.
It really is. And I totally thought it was a fluke. And I messaged Steve. I was like, oh my God, she's whistling. And he's like, what? And sure enough, like, it's been a thing. It wasn't a one-off.
Have you gotten it on video?
I haven't. I really need to try.
Oh, God, you should try. It's hard. I know how it is because every time my baby does something cute, I'm like, gotta get the phone out. Gotta get it on video. And then he stops. I'm like,
oh, yes. Instantly.
Instantly.
Yeah. They know that camera's on them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too funny. So those are my updates this week. Nothing major, which is
you had a much relief. More fun week than I did.
Yeah. So just take the good weeks as they come.
Yeah, no, that's great.
So why don't we take a break and come back for our special segment, which I'm very excited about because you interviewed a lactation consultant with listener questions.
I did.
Let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not one skin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Welcome back. We have a special segment for you today. Laura went out in the field without me. Laura, how dare you? I kid. She went out in the field and recorded an interview with a lactation consultant at the, where is it? Where was it?
It was actually at the place I go to Mommy and Me class. They have an in-house lactation consultant named Jessica Clare. And So after my Mommy and Me class, I just popped over to her office with my baby, as you will hear, and got to ask her all of the listener questions we had about nursing.
Awesome. It's so great. You guys sent in so many wonderful questions. And we really did this because Laura and I read those questions and we're like, we have opinions, but we have no actual knowledge. We are not qualified in this
way
regard.
Above our pay grade.
Yeah. And we wanted to get good information for you guys. So I hope you find this helpful. I loved it, even though I'm done nursing. I'm all formula now, but I wish I had a lot of this info back in the day. So let's hear your interview.
So I'm here with Jessica Clare, who is a IBLBC. Is that how it is?
It's an IBCLC.
CLC. I always get that wrong.
And you want to know what it stands for?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
It's International Board Certified Lactation Consultants. It's kind of a mouthful.
Okay.
That's what it is.
But you're a board certified lactation consultant. And I was able to get in touch with you because we're at the Family Room, which is a fantastic resource in San Marino, California, which is right next to Pasadena where I live. You will hear that my baby is breastfeeding at this very moment.
Yay.
And Jessica has graciously agreed to answer your listener questions. So shall we dive right into
Please.
Them? All right, we will just start at the beginning.
I am a very soon-to-be first-time mom who hopes to breastfeed. And I guess one of my burning questions is how to properly introduce and use a Hakka breast pump. I don't want to mess up my milk supply, but I also want to start saving some milk as soon as I can, and I really like the idea of it. I just don't know how to use it properly. So any advice you have for me would be amazing.
Great question. Yeah. So the Hakka is, I wouldn't classify it as a breast pump. It's basically a breast suction cup that collects extra milk that drips out on the side that you're not breastfeeding on. And so it is best used when the baby's on one side and you're suctioning the haka onto the other side. And you're right, you're really smart to think about not overusing it in the beginning, because if your baby is breastfeeding really well in the first 4 weeks or so, you don't want to be taking tons of extra milk out typically, even if you're going back to work at a few months out. You would prepare for that closer to the time going back to work, not when your baby's a newborn. I do see it really be helpful in the beginning first week when mom is maybe having a lot of engorgement and she's wanting to just take the edge off of that really full feeling on the other side when the baby's nursing. So you could use it a little bit then. And then when you get close to wanting to introduce a bottle, which typically, you know, I recommend 4 to 6 weeks is when we might try using a bottle for the first time if our baby has been nursing great up until then. Then you could use the haka a little bit here and there, maybe once a day, twice a day, to collect little bits of extra milk to practice with. Okay. So that's how I would recommend most people use it. But again, it depends on your situation. And you'd want to find either a local lactation consultant to work with if you were having problems with milk supply or anything like that early on. But you can overuse it in the beginning because you do get a lot of milk in the beginning. And I would say use it judiciously, because if you're taking out tons of extra milk and breastfeeding your baby, you can get yourself into an oversupply situation, which can be uncomfortable.
Because it's like a supply and demand situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say I have a lot of moms who use it in that first week just to kind of soften the breast a little bit because things are so overactive. Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't be putting, you know, ounces and ounces and ounces in the freezer in most circumstances. Now, okay. You know, some people may have a special need to go back to work early or something like that, and then we might have a different discussion.
And how would someone find a lactation consultant in their area?
What's can go to ILCA.org, the International Lactation Consultants Association. They would have a directory there of board-certified lactation consultants. Usually the hospital that you give birth at or the birth center, or if you have a midwife at home, they would have good contacts for good lactation consultants in the in your area. Those are some resources.
Great. Yeah. Let's do this one from Courtney.
Hi, Big Fat Positive. This is Courtney from Austin, Texas, and I have a breastfeeding question. My 9-month-old weaned at 6 months old after struggling since her birth to get my supply up. We were breastfeeding as much as possible. We did the skin-to-skin, you know, everything everybody suggests, all the supplements, and pretty much just anything anybody suggested, we tried it. And we were triple feeding for about 4 of these 6 months. It was insane. We went through several lactation consultants, only to find out at the very last appointment we had that I have something called insufficient glandular tissue, or IGT. So my question is, in future pregnancies, is there anything I can do to help my supply, or am I just kind of stuck with this? Thanks, guys. Love the podcast, as always.
Great. Wow. Thank you so much for your question. And it sounds like you were doing Herculean effort with the breastfeeding with your first baby. And I'm so sorry it took many, many healthcare professionals to actually give you a reason why you were struggling so much. That's amazing what you did for your baby. I would say a couple things. Keep in mind that if you have more children, every time you get pregnant, your breasts grow more milk-making tissue than they had at the last pregnancy. So I have worked with numerous moms who are in the same boat as you, meaning having not quite sufficient glandular tissue to make enough milk for their baby with baby number one. But then with subsequent babies, they make a lot more, sometimes 100% of their baby's need. Okay, so it really, that will be helpful with if you have a subsequent pregnancy. Now, you'd really want to be working with a healthcare professional, but there are some herbs that one could take at the very end of pregnancy that can help proliferate the milk-making tissue. But you really would want someone looking at your complete health history before making a decision to take something like that during pregnancy. A really good resource for you to have if you don't own it already is a book called Making More Milk by West and Marasco, and they just are coming out with a second edition, and it's totally tailored for women who are in your situation. And it would be great for you to read the portions about IGT, insufficient glandular tissue, and in that book, while you were pregnant with your second baby, if you do have another child. But yes, there are things to do, but I don't want to give any specific recommendation because I don't know what your health history is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
That makes sense. And we'll make sure to put a link to that book on our website. Yes,
fabulous book.
Yeah. BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great book. Let's just dive into the next question.
Mm-hmm.
We have a question from Maria.
Hi, Shauna and Laura. This is Maria from Austin, Texas, with my two-week-old Juniper. And my question is, when did your nipples stop hurting? Because mine have just been getting more and more sore, and I'm really hoping there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Thanks, guys.
Hi, I so love your baby's name, such a cute name. And I am so sorry that you are having sore nipples still. The way I describe normal is a little bit of tenderness in the first week, meaning, oh, they feel a little worked. Oh, I feel like I want to put a little bit of lubrication on them after I breastfeed my baby. Because I don't know about you, but nobody was sucking on my nipples 10 times a day before I had my first kid, right? And so they felt a little worked if everything is normal. Some women feel no pain whatsoever from the beginning, but they might be a little tender. Anything beyond that, and especially if it's getting worse as time goes on, needs someone looking at the whole situation. Because the most common reason you're going to have nipple pain, of course, is latch and positioning. And I'll bet you have YouTubed, asked your friends, the consultants at the hospital, you know, everybody's tried to help you with latch and positioning. And if that isn't really making a difference, you need a full workup in terms of having someone really skilled look at your baby's anatomy and function for breastfeeding, which includes their whole body. And usually that's a very skilled IBCLC who has extra special training in structure and function and tongue tie, those kinds of things. That would be one thing to check out. And also there might be underlying health issues that are causing this nipple pain to continue as well. If I were meeting with you in person, you know, I'd have a million other questions for mm-hmm. you, because pain can present in different ways, and that can sometimes help us figure out why it's there. But you deserve to have pain-free breastfeeding. You really do. And if there is pain, to, like what you're describing, there's a reason for it. And sometimes it takes specialized help to really suss out the why. So I don't have anything super specific, mm-hmm. but it sounds like what you're experiencing isn't normal. And I hope you can find someone in your area to help you.
I feel like a lot of women just assume that breastfeeding is supposed to be painful.
Yeah, totally.
And at what point, like you said, so there's tenderness is one thing, pain is another.
Yeah, I would say if you are having excruciating pain, like you don't want to put the baby to the breast, you're crying, mm-hmm. there's visible cracking and bleeding, that I would get help as soon as possible, like in the first few days, you know. And if someone tells you the latch looks good, unless, you know, but it's really painful, that's not acceptable. Like you need to find someone who can help you get to the bottom of it. You know, if after the first week it's getting better and better and it's just a little tender, that tenderness can stretch on past a week, but typically it should be gone by then.
Okay.
So that's kind of the where I would go with it.
Very good to know. Okay, we have one more question here from Joy.
Hi, this is Joy in Atlanta, Georgia. I wanted to ask, how did you guys get your babies on a feeding schedule? I have a 6-week-old who's sort of on a schedule, but it's kind of a challenge. Thanks.
And I wanted to ask you this because she's asking Shauna and I, how did we get our babies on the schedule? And my answer is like, I didn't really. I'm still basically feeding on demand. Yeah. And I guess my question is like, is that a thing? Yeah.
And now I'm not sure if she's breastfeeding or bottle feeding.
You know, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure. She didn't specify. But.
Yeah. But even so, I mean, I'm maybe not the best person to ask because I'm not a big fan of strict baby schedules. And I'll tell you why. I always encourage my families to think about this as a marathon, not a race, right? Not a sprint. Mm-hmm. This is a long-term project. And what do I want for my kid? I want my kid to eat when he's hungry, finish when he's full, And I'm going to trust that my baby, full-term healthy baby, knows when they're hungry. And I'm going to look for those cues, right? Which I'm sure you've been going off of, whether you're breastfeeding or bottle feeding. And so even at 6 weeks, which is still pretty young, and even beyond into babyhood, it actually sets up a much healthier relationship between your baby's brain and their stomach and their satiety. And when, you know, learning not to overeat and not to starve themselves in between, if you go on cue-based feeding.
Okay.
You know, if that doesn't work for you, you can certainly, you know, most of the scheduling programs and books and such are somewhere on a 3-hour kind of rotation, but that's not going to work for every single baby or mom, because some babies are going to want to sleep longer earlier, so it's hard to say. So I'm not the best person to ask about how to get babies onto a schedule.
Well, I guess the question, it sounds like the question could also be like, do I need to get my baby on a schedule? And your answer would be no.
I would be no. Yeah. I mean, there are extreme cases where mom isn't getting any sleep, and we try to get baby onto a more reasonable rhythm that's going to work better for her mental health, that kind of thing. Certainly not opposed to that, but it's just, you know, babies aren't robots. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want someone telling me exactly when I could eat lunch
every day.
You know? And so I think some part of it is trusting that your baby will space out their feedings at some point, that they're not going to need the breast or the bottle, you know, constantly all the time. But the first 6 to 8 weeks, there is no discernible for most babies super clear rhythm. But by 6, 7, 8 weeks, a lot of babies will get themselves into a more predictable rhythm of eating and sleeping. And certainly, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to recommend a book or anything because there's a million out there telling you how to get your baby to be the perfect baby. But, but yeah, I would say think of it as a rhythm and think of it as a communication between you and your baby. And, continuing to feed on demand is actually a very healthy way to go for most moms and babies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like my baby wants to communicate
He's trying to talk.
We'll see if we can get one more question. Yeah. But I'm not 100% sure. So I'm going to ask, this is actually not an audio question. We're just going to read it. You know, I actually don't know we're not sure who asked this. Someone sent it on Instagram.
Okay.
The question is it respectful to my baby to keep trying to breastfeed even though she prefers her bottle? A little background, my baby is 12 weeks old and I've been exclusively pumping since about 2 weeks. I try and breastfeed every day, but she always starts crying and fussing as soon as I put boob even close to her face. I really want to nurse, but I don't know if I should keep trying or not if she really hates it as much as she seems to.
Yeah, thank you for writing in. Sounds like a really hard situation, and I've seen it many, many, many times before. And the way I usually think about this is it's not that your baby doesn't want to breastfeed. She's just having a really hard time doing it. I don't know why. You know, I'm not watching you guys. But there's a reason for it. And I would say if we're trying to get baby interested in breastfeeding, you don't want to let her scream at the breast. You're just reinforcing that this is hard for me and mom is trying to do this thing. And I wouldn't say I don't know if I'd use the word disrespectful. Maybe just that if you're trying to get baby to be interested in latching onto the breast, you might try when she's half asleep, when you're in the bath together, when you're using a baby carrier and she's moving, when she's not hungry. So thinking of the breast is almost like a soothing tool to begin with. And so after a bottle, offering the breast and see if she'll do a little bit of non-nutritive sucking, that's where I'd back up and start if we were trying to get baby interested in breast.
So it's associating the boo with something else.
Disneyland. It's Disneyland here at the chest, at the breast. And let's try to keep it a happy place. If she's really arching and fussing, she's trying to communicate with you. And it's not that she doesn't like breastfeeding, it's just she's never felt successful at it, right? And so, again, I know I'm a bit of a broken record. You probably should be seen by a really good lactation consultant who can really look at the whole situation, but that's where I'd start. Really trying to just back off rather than trying to, she's really hungry, I know she'll latch on, right? Give her the bottle that she's used to and has an easier time with, and then try some comfort nursing and see where you get with that.
That's great.
Will you handle
one
more?
I have so much to say.
Will you handle one more question?
Yeah.
Okay, this is actually the last one.
I'd really love to hear your thoughts on nipple confusion. I'm wanting my partner to feed the baby maybe once a day or something just to help me out, but I'm really unsure as to when to introduce a bottle. I don't want to do it too early or too late, and I'm afraid of the dreaded nipple confusion. So any advice you have for me would be amazing.
Great. Yes, the dreaded nipple confusion. And I actually don't think of it that way. I think of it as nipple or flow preference, right? So some babies, not all, who are introduced to a fast flow bottle early on are going to prefer that. But I don't know how far along you are in your breastfeeding journey, but typically if I have a family who wants to or needs to use bottles, I do recommend introducing the idea of it around 4 to 6 weeks when the suck reflex is still there. Mm-hmm. So the baby is very unlikely to reject it, but breastfeeding has been well established, right? Because it's a different skill. And some families do fall into a pattern like you're describing, where the partner will feed the baby one time a day and the breastfeeding parent might have a little bit of a break. But remember, if you're going to want to keep your milk supply up, you're going to have to pump to replace that bottle, right?
Yeah.
So there is work involved.
So the idea is you should pump for every missed feeding.
By and large. That's typically, some moms will use that haka again to collect little bits throughout the day and then have enough for a feeding when partner gets home or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's another way some people structure it. But I would say if the baby's nursing well by 4, 5, 6 weeks, you're usually fine to introduce a bottle without fear of the baby preferring bottle. And that's what, and then, you know, if you're going back to work and you're not going to go back to work for a few months, you might just sprinkle in a little bit of bottle feeding practice if you're not doing it every day, just a couple times a week. And it could be like a little quarter ounce just to practice the skill so that baby, when he's 3 or 4 months old, doesn't decide then he doesn't want a bottle feed, even though he did it fine at 5 weeks, right?
Interesting.
Right.
You've been so generous with your time.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's been really great talking to you, and you have so much experience in this, much more than I do in my breastfeeding unicorn situation. And we're really happy you agreed to talk to us and answer our questions. So Jessica Claire, IBCLC.
That's right.
And you practice in Los Angeles. How can people find you if they're in the area?
So let's see. I have, I am on Instagram. I'm Jessica Claire IBCLC, or Jessica.Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E dot IBCLC. And then my website is lactationconsultantla.com.
Okay. And we'll be sure to put those on our website as well. BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And thank you so much for talking to us. I'm sure everyone's going to love hearing
it. Oh, good. Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Oh my God, that interview was really fun. I'm so glad we did it.
Yeah, wonderful. And how nice of her to give her time for that. That was amazing.
Yes, thank you so much, Jessica. We will be coming back to you if we have more questions about nursing and everything related to it. And yeah, thanks for sending in your questions, everyone.
And now it's time for us to take a break and come back with our weekly BFPs and BFNs.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With Lolavie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter Lolavie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolavie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
Lolavie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at lolavie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, what do you have for us this week?
I have a BFP.
Ooh, tell me.
Okay, so these are a product that I found on, of all places, Amazon. And you know how you had that thing a couple weeks ago where you were like, I don't know if this is a BFP or a BFN because I feel bad when you were talking about the pouches?
Oh, yes.
I feel similarly about these, but I think they're a BFP because they are saving my life. And they are the Neat Solutions Table Topper Disposable Stick-On Placemats.
Okay. They're basic, in English.
They are basically just adhesive-backed plastic single-use placemats that you can, like, stick to tables when you're, especially when you're out at a restaurant and the baby can
I've
eat.
I've seen,
like,
you use these. Okay. Yeah,
they have, like, cute little designs on them, and the baby can just eat right off of it, and you don't have to worry about, like, staining the table at the restaurant you're at or, like, whatever germs are on the table you don't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. The BFN part of it is that, you know, they're single-use plastic, and they are truly single-use because they have that, like, adhesive on the back. You can't reuse them. But I find they're really useful for eating out and also for cleaning up after eating out because you can, like, wipe up all the food that the baby's dropped on the floor and, like, stick it in that and kind of create, like, a neat little bundle of trash to throw out. So this is one of those things where I'm just finding other ways to be good for the environment, and for now I'm using this until the baby can, like, reliably use a bowl, not pick it up and throw it on the ground. I think this is my life for now because we love going out to lunch, and he loves feeding himself. Like, he won't almost let us feed him anymore. He has to be the one to, like, pick it up and put it in his mouth. So, you know, and for that it needs to be on the table, because I've tried doing, like, little bowls, and they're like bowls that stick to the table, supposedly, like suction cup. I've never gotten them to actually work. Suction cup to the table.
Interesting. You know, so I was going to say, I just put a couple of those in my Amazon cart because I was thinking about getting them for home, but you're finding them not useful.
Well, you use a high chair with a tray at home, right? Well, see, that will work for when you're out and about and eating at restaurants. If they have a glass table, it'll work. If they have, like, a cool rustic wood table with, you know, grain and whatever, it won't stick. The suction cup just doesn't stick. So I know this because I have a, like, suction cup toy that I use for him all the time, and it works maybe 10% of the time at restaurants.
Isn't that the way suction cups always are? Like, if you buy something for your shower to, like, put shampoo in, and it's
totally,
like, ugh, just falls in the middle of the night. You're like, what the fuck was that?
What was that?
Like, suction cup.
Suction
Damn cup. It.
Suction cups are imperfect technology, but they are the technology we have. So anyway, the one I have, you can get a pack of 60 for just under $13 on Amazon.
Oh, so, you know, that seems we'll put like enough to last till he's ready for bowls.
It's certainly lasting a long time. They're also very, very thin, so they're really easy to stick in the diaper bag and have a couple just ready to go. They really mm-hmm. don't add bulk, which is nice, you know, because those like silicone table topper things, they're thick. They don't roll up very well. I mean, they roll up, but they're bulky, so... Mm-hmm. This is what
I remember trying
using.
To use those silicone ones for Elle. Mm-hmm. Even at home, I was just like, gosh, the table always gets so messy. And maybe if I set this down, I'll just like just wash that in the sink. And it just sucked. It did not work. It like shifted all over the place. And, you know, those really aren't great either. So I think you found a good solution. I'm down with it.
Yeah. And, you know, they are cute. And a lot of people comment on how cool they are. And you know what we do with them is... I've learned that instead of just like putting the mat flush on the table, like where like the backside ends, or I guess the front side, depending on how you're looking at it, ends at the edge of the table, I've discovered that if you wrap them around the edge of the table so that the front edge is like stuck to the bottom of the table, that really helps mm-hmm. with cleanliness and also with babies who like to put their mouths on the table.
Oh, like my mine. Baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, your other solution, you could be like me and just never go anywhere. Mm-hmm, da, da, da.
I can't do it. I'm so house, like stir crazy by 11 a.m. I'm like, okay, we're going to do something. And usually eating is a thing we can do. So
Yes.
Anyway, that's my BFP for the week. Do you have a BFP or a BFN for us, Shauna?
I have a BFP as well.
Awesome.
And it is also food related.
Cool.
And it is frozen peas.
Okay.
I discovered when Elle was a baby that frozen peas are an amazing baby snack. She loves them. And the reason I discovered this is because I dropped some frozen peas on the floor one day. Uh-huh. And the dogs were like scrambling to get them. And I was like, no, you know, I don't know, just trying to pick them up. Mm-hmm. And she crawled over and picked one up and put it in her mouth and like chewed it and was like, I was like, you could eat that? I mean, isn't it kind of like too hard?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I would think
confused
it was like a
about
hard
it.
Like a pebble or something.
Yeah, you would think so, right? But mm-hmm. I think they're so small that they kind of warm up in their mouth just enough. And they're really not that pebble-like. Because I tried it, too. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, it does kind of just, like, mush in your mouth a little bit. But it's cold, so they like it on their gums. And it's, like, perfect bite size. It's not a choking hazard. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll try giving her some frozen peas. And I did. And she loved them. They became her favorite snack.
Wow. I'm going to have to try this.
Yes. And once Cece got old enough to eat more things like this, I was like, I got to try it with her too. And she loves it. And so for me, I love snacks that are easy mm-hmm. and healthy. And so I just will put her in her high chair and throw a handful of frozen peas and it keeps her occupied. She loves them. She gets a veggie and it's easy for me. So I love it.
I bet it feels great on their teeth. When they're mm-hmm. teething, too.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man. It totally does.
I'm running out today to go buy some frozen peas.
I'm dying to know if he likes them. And I had never heard this before. It's not like a thing I had ever read anywhere. I just kind of stumbled upon it, and I shared it in one of my Facebook moms groups. And now it's like a thing that people recommend to each other all the time. They're like, frozen peas, great snack.
You started a trend.
I think I did. I mean, we all know I'm just the world's best trendsetter. But another frozen thing that I like to do, mm-hmm. I'll tack this on here, is I will also like break a frozen waffle in half and just hand it to her. And she like noms on that, and that's cold on her gums, and she just kind of takes little bites. And that occupies her in her high chair, too, while I'm like doing dishes or whatever.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah, I utilize those frozen foods.
Yeah, I still do the frozen breast milk in one of those, like, what do you call them? Like, teething pacifier? You know what I'm talking about? Those,
yes.
We talked about them ways back. They're like those, like, you can either get, like, a mesh bag version or, like, the silicone mm-hmm. ones. That's what I have. And I put, like, a frozen ice cube of breast milk inside of them. And he loves that when he's teething, which seems to be all the time now. So
all the time. I mean, all they just have so many teeth popping in. You know what I just thought of? Speaking of frozen stuff, because we use that too. I got one when you recommended it. I bet if you put like a few frozen blueberries or mm-hmm. a frozen strawberry or something in there too, that would be great. They would probably love that too.
He probably would. You know, I always think of you when I eat frozen grapes because I didn't know that was a thing yes. until you introduced. If anyone out there doesn't know about frozen grapes, Shauna, will you tell people about the joy? will you give them the gift you gave me?
I don't even remember giving you this gift, so I'm so glad that I did because I love it. It's one of my favorite snacks. And first of all, grapes are just probably one of my top two favorite fruits. And you just pop them in the freezer, and then when they're frozen, you eat them, and they're like frozen little sweet popsicles. They're so delicious.
You would think you'd break your teeth, right? But they're mm-hmm. so full of sugar, they don't freeze solid. They're just like little slushies. They're yeah. so good.
Yeah, they're not like ice cubes. It's not like biting into something super hard. I wonder if it's similar thing with the peas. Like they don't freeze super probably. Hard like ice. It's yeah. just like, you know, got some sugar and stuff.
And I should say, don't give your baby a frozen grape.
No, that please
is
don't.
A massive choking hazard. Mm-hmm. But for you and your partners and your other adults in the house, frozen grapes, delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yummy. So that's what I have this week, utilizing that freezer.
And we'll make sure to put a link to my placemats, like I discovered them. I did not create these placemats. They have like 1,000 reviews on Amazon, but we'll put them on bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
And if you have any suggestions for high iron foods that Laura can feed to her baby or anything else you want to share with us, you know we love hearing from you. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a closed group, so you have to ask to join, but I will add you and you can join in the great discussions we're having there. And as mentioned, we have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You can also send us questions or comments at contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
And if you love our show, please spread the word. If you know a pregnant person or a new parent, let them know about BFP Podcast. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yanker.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you later.
Bye.